drinking town with a football problem. Hey everybody, welcome into the Piffles Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Alex.
I'm Steve.
I'm Ferlin.
And Amy is not here tonight. She is out of the studio. So it'll just be the three of us today. Thanks so much for joining us. Follow us on Twitter at Piffles Pod. You can follow me at RealAlexD.
You can follow me at Safamod.
And myself at Fernie635.
Make sure you like us on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. Or on Instagram, just search Piffles Pod. And as always, Piffles Podcast brought to you by Coney Island Poutine Cafe, the best poutine in the prairies, two locations in Regina that they deliver, Coney Island Poutine Cafe in Regina. We have a loaded show to get to. We were wondering what we were going to do coming into this show as we were recording. We're like, well, there's not really much going on in the CFL, so we'll talk a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And then a couple bombs hit. We're going to talk a little bit about the Eskimos in this episode. We're going to talk about the Esks firing Ed Hervey, Nate Cuhern retiring, and Odell Willis's subsequential tweet to that. Our Piffles player profile this week is actually going to be in studio with us. We're going to have Willie Jefferson joining us, defensive end for the Riders. But first, the big news. Commissioner Jeffrey Orridge is, and I say this in quotes, stepping down, a.k.a. he's being dismissed. And this came out of the blue on Wednesday. A lot of people not so much shocked that he's resigning, but just more at the timing. And for me, that's kind of how I feel, is the timing is really, really odd this season. We just had a successful CFL week a couple weeks ago. The season's coming up right away. We got the draft coming up. And it just seems like that would be a really weird time to let go of your commissioner. But the CFL came out with a release basically saying that they want to thank him for all of his efforts and for serving for the league. Jeffrey Orridge also said it's been an honor to serve as the commissioner and help prepare this league for the future. But ultimately, they've agreed to mutually part ways. Again, I use air quotes for that, with an effective date of June 30th, 2017. So just before the Riders' home opener, Jeffrey Orridge will no longer be our commissioner. What's your guys' take on it?
Had it happened in January, I could have seen it. I could have understood. He wasn't... There was rumors and there was noise that it was kind of his tenure was coming to an end, but then CFL week happened and nobody can argue that that was a huge success for a first time event, and to let him go or fire him or mutually part ways, whatever you want to call it, you know, a couple weeks after such a major event, just before the draft, it makes no sense to me. The CFL has an issue with, you know, the tenure of their commissioners. We've had six commissioners since 2000. You know, three of them were interim, but it's still in that time, the NFL, NHL, and I think, well, NBA's had two. The NHL and NFL have had one. And we're on number seven coming up now.
And comparing just leagues there, since 1967, there's been 15 commissioners of the CFL. That averages out to one every 3.3 years. So it's not a long and that's was brought up, that average is brought up by Mark Cohan, who is our commissioner for 8 years. Something about that job just doesn't scream long term.
It's definitely a shock. I thought he was trending upwards, especially with CFL week. I don't know what else to say. There's a lot of hate being piled on him right now that he doesn't really deserve, because some of the things that he's being blamed for wasn't all on him. He was a huge friend of our show. He's been on it two or three times now. And even before that, I had no problem with him. It's just weird, the timing, and all of it just seems weird. This whole offseason is weird, but this especially.
Bad timing seems to be the slogan of the 2016-2017 CFL offseason.
Now, a couple of things that... You know, like the logo change. A lot of people are still upset at that for changing into the new branding of the CFL and that change. My only issue with it was done hours before the 2015 Grey Cup, and then the officials still came out wearing the old logo on their shirts, which was a little odd. I get the timing. Maybe it should have been done earlier in the week. And again, it's timing. A lot of his decisions like that, probably not the best time to do it. If he would have done it earlier in the week in CFL week, or if he would have done it earlier in the week in Grey Cup week, that might have made more sense. If he would have done it right after, you know, give it a week after Grey Cup when things kind of typically slow down, then that might have been a better thing. But to get mad at the guy because he changed the logo. Guess what? Companies do that all the time. And in when you're trying to get a younger fan base, you have to rebrand quite often to try and get in younger fans. And he was trending towards that way, Ferlin, you mentioned that. The one thing I think would be fair to actually to pick on him for would be basically saying that CTE is not linked to football. Now, that's a kind of a touchy subject for concussions and everything. There was probably a better way he could have handled that question when that was thrown out to him. You know, is football related to concussions and CTE? Instead of just saying no, we haven't found anything like that. Maybe say, you know, it's an ongoing process. We're always looking at different things. Not really much to comment on right now. Might have been a better way to do it. But I think overall, just especially in Saskatchewan, people hated him because he wasn't Mark Cohan. And we talked about this before the show. Mark Cohan was a great face for the league. He loved to schmooze with the fans, especially Rider fans. Something about Saskatchewan. He absolutely loved being here and talking with the fans here. And Rider fans didn't really feel that same way with Jeffrey Orridge. And through no fault of his own, but then also came the fines last year to Chris Jones. And, oh, he hates the Riders. There's a conspiracy against the Riders. One, we all know that's BS. That there's no conspiracy against the Riders. That was a Chris Jones thing. But the guy has to look out for the entire league and what's best for it. And a lot of shade is being thrown at him. And I think a lot of it could also go towards the Board of Governors. And I'm going to say it. It's the CFL is still in that old boys club mentality. A lot of the, you know, with nine teams, everybody, it shouldn't be hard for every team to be on the same page with what they want and goals. But they all seem to want different things. And that's pretty hard for, you know, someone in a position like the commissioner to try and get.
You mentioned that, you know, the visibility of Orridge wasn't what Cohan was. And I kind of have to disagree with that a little bit. Cohan was a much better public face. He was very open and publicly accessible to fans. But it just seemed nobody really gave Orridge a chance. Like, he was at Grey Cups and he was at CFL Week. He was at several major events and regular season games talking to fans, and people just never embraced him in that position. And they would go talk to him, but nobody saw. So there was never a camera in his face when it was happening. So nobody noticed it, and it just, nobody saw it. Didn't happen, right?
I think the biggest difference between Mark Cohan and Jeffrey Orridge is that when Cohan went out, he talked to fans as a fan. He was passionate about that side of the league and the marketing and the excitement and all of that. Orridge was more of a business guy, and we've had discussions with him. We've talked to him on our show. We've talked to him at CFL Week, and he always seemed to be in that professional mode. Like, he was always the commissioner of the CFL. He was never just Jeffrey Orridge when he was talking to you. And I think that rubbed people differently. And Cohan was an impossible act to follow from a marketing standpoint or from that, you know, personality standpoint. But as a commissioner, I have very few issues with what Jeffrey Orridge did. He made his mistakes. You know, that's going to happen when you bring somebody in who's not as familiar with the league as some. But on the grand scheme of things, I think the game is in a better place today than it was 2.5 years ago.
Yeah, again, it's just, to me, it's just weird timing. He still had 1 year left on his contract. I'm not sure why he wouldn't just want to go through that. Let him play out his contract. Maybe some changes happen and things get better from the Board of Governors side of the things, and the trends keep going upwards. But I guess they just didn't have the same vision, and that's why he's not going to be our commissioner anymore.
Yeah, you mentioned the vision, and they said in their press release that they had differing views on the future of the league, and I would really like to know each of their views on the future of the league, because I want to know if we're getting screwed over by Orridge stepping down and the Board of Governors getting their way. I mean, it could be that Orridge's view is better for the fans than what the Board of Governor wants.
Well, he's getting games broadcast on YouTube across the world, and that was something that wasn't done before. And so I don't, like, maybe that's one of the things that the board's like, no, we're not making enough money off that. I don't know if that's, you know, one of their kind of thing. But yeah, it'd be really nice to hear what the different visions are. I mean, we all want the CFL to succeed as a whole, obviously we want the riders to do well, but as it doesn't come without the league being successful as well. So it's a really, I don't want to say unfortunate thing. A lot of people saw it happening, just maybe not right now. And again, that just brings us full circle back to the timing thing. But it's just, maybe it's our bias showing because he has been on our show and this administration has been so fan-friendly with us and have been so accommodating, and we have nothing but thanks and respect to the CFL and to Commissioner Jeffrey Orridge for coming on our show a couple times, meeting us at CFL Week. Again, Steve, like you said, really didn't have any major issues with what happened. People keep saying rule changes while he's making the game worse. Well, guess what? That's not his choice on the rule changes. Those are voted by the board. So a lot of the stuff that people think are the commissioner's responsibilities actually aren't the commissioner's responsibilities. As a fan, I would like to know exactly what the responsibilities are and have that laid out. So when something goes awry, you can say, you know what, that's not the right person to get mad at. This is the group that you have to, you know, question why did they make that decision, and that's who should actually have to answer. But it just unfortunately falls on the commissioner for whatever reason. But hopefully we'll talk to him before he is finished being the commissioner on June 30th. But we wish him nothing but the best here from the Piffles podcast. And it'll be, I think for us, kind of sad to see him go because he was so nice to us. And I said earlier that I hope that the next commissioner can be half as approachable, and especially with media like podcasts. A lot of them honestly aren't taken very seriously by the general media as a whole. He made us feel like we were part of the team, and that was really cool. So it's a new wave of technology and media nowadays, and he recognized that, and that's a lot of, I hope the new commissioner, whoever that is, realizes that as well.
Well, you were in the same room as I was for the media, the stuff for the CFL week, and we weren't the only podcast there. There was us, there was Blue Bomber Talk, there was the CFL Fantasy Football. Like, the CFL seemed to accept that style of media under this regime, and I agree, I really hope it continues because, you know, not just because it's good for us, it's great for the fans.
Well, going from one person who's no longer going to be in his position, we're going to go to another one. We're going to talk about the Eskimos here. Eskimos fired Ed Hervey as their general manager. That one, what the hell? What is Edmonton, like, right before the draft? Apparently this was brewing in January. Why wasn't it done then? If you were thinking of doing it, obviously there's some deeper roots. Why would you not do it then? Because now the new GM, whoever that's going to be, is going to come in, and these aren't his guys. They might have a Chris Jones on Saskatchewan type of deal where a lot of the fan favorites, they might get cut because he's not that, you know, player X isn't GM-wise player.
We all mocked the Argos for getting rid of Barker just before free agency, but they might have had it right. You know, between the two options, you're right. Edmonton signed a bunch of players over the last, 3 months under Hervey when he was apparently out the door, who may not be new GM's guy. We're right back to the same spot with the commissioner. The timing on this is just odd. And it comes down to nothing more than a pissing match between Len Rhodes and Ed Hervey. I think the wrong guy won.
Yeah, the reasons they gave were just stupid. Winning wasn't enough.
That was one of the stupidest things I've ever heard.
The guy was
in a press conference.
One season removed from winning a Grey Cup.
And they still did good after rebuilding a coaching staff after that. So what if the media had to stand in a hallway outside the locker room to interview people after practices and games?
Now, as a fan, accessibility to the team and seeing the videos and interviews and everything, it's important. And the team does have to be media friendly. But I mean, as a fan, ultimately, like, I know I don't share the same sentiment with everybody, but ultimately I want my team to win. Personally, I don't care if I hear from the head coach or not. Personally, I don't care if I hear from a couple of the players in the locker room after the game. I don't care. Go out there and do your job and win. I know part of the job is talking to the media, and I get that. As somebody who also works in the media, we have a job to do as well, and we need that kind of give and take. But ultimately, it's about winning. It's business. Interviews don't sell seats. Interviews don't sell merchandise. Interviews don't win games. Winning games win games, and winning games brings in money, which is ultimately what it's all about. So it was just, again, weird to get rid of him now, but I guess if you're having that thought to get rid of him, I guess get rid of him now.
I saw it mentioned a couple times too that Hervey's draft record was declining and his Canadian content was declining. So I kind of see it from that perspective that, you know, maybe he wasn't the best fit, but he was still winning games and, you know, one season removed from a Grey Cup. We're a month away from the draft. Just none of it makes sense. And they gave stupid reasons, and I think it's going to bite them in the end.
Well, and we go back to the accessibility thing, and I use this term very loosely. We in the media, and I'm air quoting this, yes, the accessibility is great, but it's not important. I don't understand that quote, the winning isn't enough. I can't get past that and try and, you know, make sense of any of the rest of what he said. Yes, his draft record was apparently poor, and we kind of overlooked that as fans for a while, but winning isn't enough. If I heard that from my owner, board of directors, or anything, I'd be out the door as a fan. And a lot of fans are. Fans are pissed in Edmonton, and rightfully so. This was a mistake. And as a Rider fan, I'm happy.
Love it.
Love it.
And the stupid thing is, most of the things that they mentioned weren't even a GM's job. Like, it's not Hervey's job to, you know, decide where the players and media go after practices and stuff. It's not up to him. He's in charge of player personnel and hiring.
No, but in that regard it was, because it was his policy to shut the doors. So that part was technically his doing. But a lot of the things that they mentioned, like getting fans in the seats and we need to be more approachable to get those fans, none of that is a GM's job. That part is not.
And the GM doesn't set ticket prices, and I think that's the main issue in Edmonton. You got a stadium that has 57,000 seats, or however much Commonwealth holds. I read today that they're selling nosebleeds for $42. Those should be priced at $10-$20. Just get those people in the stands and get them to spend money on merch and concession sales and make your money that way. Especially during an economic downturn right now, like we're seeing in Alberta and all of Canada, really, just get people in there, make the tickets cheap, and build the team and the brand that way.
Well, it's more profitable from a team standpoint to have 50,000 fans paying $20 a ticket than it is to have 25,000 paying $40. Yeah, you get the same amount of ticket sales, but you got 50,000 people walking the concourse, you got 50,000 people buying jerseys, you got 50,000 people saying, "Hey, that was a great game." That you're right, ticket sales have to change there, and that's not Ed Hervey's job. His job is to put a winning football team on the field, and he's did
done that.
I bet you Toronto is wishing. Well, I guess they got a pretty decent GM head coach combo.
Yeah, but they're doing all right now.
Yeah,
the Eskimos have been preaching the Eskimo way for years, and I said this yesterday, that this is not the Eskimo way. To can somebody because winning isn't enough just doesn't seem logical in any, not just the Eskimo way, in any sports team way. Like, winning is the ultimate goal, and if that's not enough, then somebody's doing their job wrong.
Now, one of the things with Ed Hervey that we mentioned was his Canadian draft record, and that leads us to our next discussion point here. Wide receiver Nate Kuhorn retires, and that was kind of out of the blue, basically citing concussions. And me personally, that's not something you mess with, especially when he has kids, right? Especially especially when you have a family. Like, I know personally, yeah, I would love to continue playing football if I were him, but at the same time, I don't want to be pushed around and have my kids looking after me for the next 40 years of my life, 30, you know, 50 years of my life, whatever it is. Like, that's just not something I'd want to put onto my family. So you got to look out for them first, and ultimately, you don't mess with head injuries, especially nowadays. So congrats to him on a good career. He killed us in a game last year. But coming from that, a couple things that I want to bring up is, first off, Odell Willis on Twitter basically said, "You're lying about concussions. Good riddance. You took your money and left before Like, you took your signing bonus and retired on us.
Low price.
Nate Cahorn came back and basically said, you know, that's not the way it happened at all. My bonus wasn't due till May 1st, so I'm not taking money and running. And again, cited his injuries, but also said, you know, kept it classy and said, it's always been a pleasure to play with you. Great being a champion with you. Go out and win another one. So he kept it classy. So good for Cahorn on that. But Odell Willis, I mean, we saw him at CFL week. The guy can't keep his mouth shut. And it's hilarious. But the other discussion point I wanted to bring up was how this kind of ruins their ratio. Because now at receiver, they have Corey Watson. That's it. Getzlaff is a free agent. Devin Bailey is a free agent. And they just lost Eddie Steele.
They got Shamad Chambers, too, at receiver.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
of course you did. Everybody forgot about him. He forgot about him.
Ruthless. But now that they got rid of Eddie Steele just so they could go with a four import D-line and change the ratio elsewhere. And this kind of ruins that for them. And as a fan of the Riders, I absolutely approve of that. So it'll be interesting to see, especially now with a new GM coming in, what they're going to do with their ratio, because these aren't his guys. Is he going to keep players that he doesn't want? Is he going to, you know, try and draft players that they weren't necessarily looking at to be starters? So that'll be, has a kind of a big chain effect coming down from that.
And speaking of new GM, we found out today from, of course, Justin Dunk of Three Down Nation, Jeremy O'Day, the Riders' assistant GM, getting permission to interview for that vacancy. I think if he gets that job, there's going to be a lot of pissed off Rider fans.
And right. Just to add off that as well, I read Gary Lawless tweeted out that the window for discussion or for discussing switching teams is closed, but the commissioner can make an exemption and allow that to happen, and apparently that happened. So that's one more straw for the Rider fans that hate Orich to, well, now you're going to get rid of our, you know, assistant GM. Thanks a lot.
Well, you know what? When it comes down to it, I kind of hope that that O'Day gets the job, mostly for the compensation talk. I got an idea of who I'd like back in return for that.
I don't think Andrew of the Eskimo Empire podcast would like who you're thinking of, though.
James Franklin? Anybody?
I'd make that trade. Franklin for O'Day.
Is O'Day Canadian?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they do need some Canadian content.
Yeah, there you go. Good for O'Day. This would be a promotion for him, of course, and you never, ever want to see... You always want to see somebody get a promotion. Like, it's good for them and everything. I personally don't think he's ready to run a franchise quite yet. He'll be a good one, absolutely. And he's learning from a couple good ones right now with John Murphy and Chris Jones, but... Just, I don't think he's ready for it right now.
No, and he will be a GM in the future in the CFL. I don't think anybody disagrees with that, but I don't think he's there yet. And this is just, if they go from Ed Hervey to Jeremy O'Day on a GM scale, nothing against Jeremy O'Day, but, you know, as a Rider fan, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I have no problem with somebody seeking better for themselves. Obviously, this is something he wants. And kudos to the Riders for giving him permission and to the league for giving him permission. It's a step up. You can't deny somebody that opportunity. And if he gets it, that's great for him. It's probably great for eight other teams too at this point. But he is going to be a great GM someday. I just don't think it's going to be this day.
And one more note, again, linking the Eskimos and the Riders here. Eskimo signed linebacker Corey Jones as well. Played for the Riders last year. Was on special teams most of the time, and a good depth pickup for them. So there's a little tidbit of information for you there. But make sure you listen to our friends over at the Eskimos Empire podcast. They'll have a lot more of this talk, especially Ed Hervey and the whole Nate Cahorn retiring thing. So make sure if you want to hear more of that, check them out. Just search up the Eskimos Empire podcast. All right, moving on. We said that we'd have a special guest joining us this week, and we do. This week joining us, we're going to find out a little bit more about Riders defensive end Willie Jefferson. I really want to know. Joining us this week on the Piffles podcast, we have rider Willie Jefferson. Willie, thanks so much for joining us.
Appreciate you having me here.
Oh, our pleasure. First off, when you came back up to Canada last year, why did you choose Saskatchewan to sign with, and why again as a free agent here in 2017?
I know the fan base here is really backed by the community, and then just Chris Jones and the coaching staff, and then the history of here is just football, so I just wanted to come just play football in the football town, just like back at home.
Having been here for little over a year, what's your favorite part of being a Rough Rider so far?
Man, the fans, you can go anywhere and find a Rough Rider fan, so I'm saying you go to Montreal or Ottawa or BC, like where you know like the fans back their team a lot too, and then you just find Regina fans or Rough Rider fans, stuff like that. It just make you just want to play a little bit harder for the team.
Kind of a two-parter here. You changed up your jersey number, and you're going to wear number 7 this year. Why number 7, and did Kevin Glenn have to offer you anything to get that number back?
Oh, yeah, it was kind of like a long little conversation, like back and forth between me and Kevin, and then like a long conversation back and forth between me and the equipment man, Gordy. And it's just KG texted me one day and he was like, oh, man, I need that 5 back. And I was like, I'm going to need something for it. And he was like, yeah, man, I got you during the season, man. Whatever you need, I got you. And then I was like, all right, man, you can have it. And then once it was that, I was just asking Gordy. I was like, I wanted a single-digit number, and I didn't know what numbers were open. And he just sent me like a list of numbers, and I just picked 7. Because just, you know, like, who doesn't want to wear a single-digit number? So I was just taking that and just ran with it.
Now you got to have a list of things that you want from Kevin Glenn this season, right?
Like I have a plethora of things that I want from Kevin Glenn this year. Just, it doesn't even matter. Just if I see it and I just be like, oh yeah, I might ask KG to get that for me. So, breakfast and stuff like that. It's nothing major, but I'm saying it's all funny games about the number change and stuff like that. So as long as he happy, I'm happy with the number I got and just is ready to play ball.
Now, you mentioned Chris Jones when you came back. That was one of the reasons why you wanted to sign here. A lot of people here actually don't like Chris Jones. What can you tell us about him? Because obviously the players seem to like him, so there's something about him that the fans don't see. What draws people to Chris Jones?
It's just his attitude. He wants to win every game. He's a hard-nosed coach. He's a player's coach. I'm saying he knows every player's background, personality, like his flaws, his, you know what I'm saying, stuff like that. And I'm saying it's not like he just comes to work and just yells out plays and then yells out orders and stuff like that. Man, he talks to just pretty much everybody. I'm saying if he see you walking in the hallway or like walking on the field or something like that, he'll just run up on you and then talk to you and stuff like that. Or just like if he'll see you out in the city and stuff like that, you never plan to meet Coach Jones in the city or just like out on a regular day, you know what I'm saying? But if you run into him, like, he'll talk to you and just talk business, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't even have to be about football. It just be about life and stuff like that. So I just found out through me meeting him and him finding me to play football in Edmonton and stuff like that, I just love the way he coached, and I just love the way he just is him.
Now we have the new stadium built. Have you had a tour of it?
Oh, man, I've been all around the stadium plenty of times, gave tours and toured around it just to do myself and stuff like that. So
what's your favorite part of it?
I'm saying not besides the locker room, just going upstairs like to see where like all the media stuff and stuff is done like that and stuff, and just the view they have, like, so I'm saying like they're like right behind like bleacher seats, so like they can just like see out like from under the seats and stuff like that. So, like, see the jumbotron and just see the field and stuff like that, just walking around and just seeing like the wind blowing, the flags waving and stuff like that is just amazing.
So we know that in most locker rooms, music is pretty important before a game. Who on the team is going to control the music this year?
I don't really know. I'm like right now, since we're just working out and stuff like that in there, it's pretty much me or AC. But I'm saying other than that, I don't know. I'm pretty sure somebody's going to come back and just want to listen to like the Canadian, you know what I'm saying, hip-hop music, like the Toronto music and stuff like that. And then there's going to be people coming back wanting to hear the club songs and stuff like that from the States and stuff. So I'm pretty sure somebody will get in there and just like make a little mix and then have everybody just satisfied.
So we have a little section on our show. It's the Piffles player profile. We like to get to know about the person themselves. What can you tell our listeners something about Willie Jefferson off the field?
Off the field, I'm a real people person. I'm saying, like, I like to laugh, joke around and stuff like that. Real movie buff. I pretty much go to the movies, like, every weekend. I love to eat, love to cook, love to shop. I'm saying, like, I like fast cars and stuff like that. So I'm saying, like, if you see me out in the open and just ask me anything, I'm saying we pretty much can do anything. So I'm really, like, just like an open book.
Now, is there one skill that you have that people don't know about you?
I don't know, other than me just being, me being me.
Like, you're just good at everything, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I'm saying. I don't know, like I say, man, I like to cook in my spare time. Like, I do gymnastics and stuff like that. It's a lot of stuff that I just do this on the regular, just me.
So if it wasn't professional football, what do you think you'd be doing right now?
Probably this. Honestly, this is what I went to school for. So I'm saying, like, I'm comfortable being, like, behind the mic or being behind the computer, like, looking up stats and stuff like that. Like, that's what I did in college, like, for the last 2 years. So whenever it's over, like, I'll probably be up in here doing this.
TSN needs to give you a call when it's all said and done.
Ah, man, like, I hope. It is what it is, man. I'm saying.
So what music is on your phone right now? Do you have any guilty pleasures that you care to share?
Oh, yeah, man, that new Rick Ross, the new Future. I listen to a little of Drake, Young Dolph. I'm saying, I listen to my boys back at home, stuff like that, you know, and the homegrown music. Got to give a shout-out to my boys back in Beaumont, like everybody. I'm saying, my boys, all the young boys doing music and stuff like that, it's popping out there.
Now we got the 2017 season starting up pretty quick here. I know players don't like training camp. You got the two-a-days and everything, we're not going to ask about training camp, but what's your favorite part of leading up to the season?
Just the, like, the motivation everybody gets, like, after, like, the last preseason game. Like, they know, all right, like, you know what I'm saying, the final roster's being made, you know what I'm saying, practice roster. So I really get to just, you know what I'm saying, put on a jersey and, like, show my skills in front of everybody, like, on TV, and just, like, make plays and stuff like that, like, solidify your spot in the CFL as a player.
And I know ultimate goal is Grey Cup. Does Willie Jefferson have individual goals for the season?
Yeah, man, always. I'm trying to be the 2017 sack leader. Like, I'm trying to have, like, all that. Like, most, you know what I'm saying? I don't know, like, most tackles. I know it's a lot of tackles, like, but, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to lead the league in sacks, trying to lead my team in sacks, all that. All-star, Grey Cup champ, all that.
And final one here for you. What can the fans look forward to this season, 2017, with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders?
They can look forward to a fast, physical, motivated, real energetic team, man. Like I'm saying, this year, like, we are locked in, like, from the offensive line to the quarterback to the defensive line to the safeties, man. I'm saying, like, everybody is ready to just play, get out there, and do their part to win for the team.
Willie, thanks for coming in. We really appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
That was Riders defensive end Willie Jefferson joining us here in the studio again. Willie, thanks so much for joining us this week. But moving on, we got one last thing to do before we leave. We want to give, I'm going to tell you who the good guy of the week is.
Tell me something good.
Now, one of our friends over at the Bleed Red Blacks podcast was actually named to help plan the Grey Cup Festival in Ottawa this year, and that was Janine. You know her as Ottawa J on Twitter. She's been on our show a couple times, and we just want to give a shout-out to her for helping out planning the Grey Cup Festival, and just remember who your favorite friends in green are when we head out there.
We had one request. Make sure you involve the pancake luge somehow, Janine. Somehow.
I think it's great for Janine. They couldn't have picked a better person to do it. And it's great for the Red Blacks. This is great PR for them.
Well, and they're not just doing that. They've also put out a thing having fans try and create their Grey Cup ticket for this year. I don't know if you guys saw that, but that's great. They want fans to send in designs for the Grey Cup ticket. They're trying to get their fan base and the country involved for the, you know, 150th year of Canada.
That's a
big Grey Cup.
That's a great idea, especially after last year's Grey Cup debacle in Toronto.
There was a Grey Cup last year?
Yeah, you remember if you bought a pizza, you got two free tickets to the game?
Well, you know whose fault that was.
And we got one more piece of business to get to.
Something we're introducing this year. Last year, our pick'em between was pretty much just between the four of us. We had polls up every week, but we never really looked at those too much after we posted them. So we figured we'd do it a little bit more organized this year. So we are doing a pick'em on the CFL pick'em website. You can search for our group in there. It's just Piffles Podcast. We'll post this shortly after the show is posted, so you might have already heard about it, but please join, and we'll see if we can round up some prizes for the winner of that.
Excellent. I look forward to it, because I know last year we all kind of sucked.
So everybody is going to beat us.
Yep. So join in, do better than us, win some prizes. I think that's a good deal.
Sounds like fun to me.
There we go. Speaking of fun, next week's show, we're going to have the latest Rider news. We're going to talk to Rider alum, former kicker, and current mustache god, Eddie Johnson. Eddie Johnson's going to join us on the phone. We'll have a Piffles player profile and just talk more CFL news. We're going to take a look at the CFL draft and what the Riders, where the Riders are picking in the draft, and we're going to talk a little bit about what we think should happen in the draft and see what else happens in the CFL in the next couple weeks here. So until then, make sure you do follow us on Twitter at PifflesPod. You can follow me at RealAlexD.
You can follow me at Safamud.
Myself at Fernie635.
And you can follow Amy at CFL Hottie Bowl. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. We're also on Instagram. Just search PifflesPod. This has been the Piffles Podcast, brought to you by the best poutine in the prairies, Coney Island Poutine Cafe in Regina. Thanks for listening.